All right. So, as the temporary chairman, I'll call this meeting to order at 8:03. Is my close mark?
Perfect. Right on time.
Okay. And Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge of allegiance to the flag of the
United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And I just noticed you guys couldn't see my pretty face, so let me turn that back on here. Item number three, roll call.
Mr. Mayor Tinkin? Ms. DeGennaro? Mr. DiMartino?
Here.
Mr. Sampson?
Here.
Mrs. Sevcek? She's muted, but let's see.
We see her. She's peering into her screen.
Mr. Butler?
Here.
Mr. Gilday? Record should reflect you have four members present. Enough for a quorum, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
There.
We got you now, Judy. Thank you, dear.
I didn't know I was muted, so it's probably nice for everybody. Like, gosh, you can just move her mouth. Nothing's
It was quiet, but you figured it out. Item number four, public portion. Is anybody from the public that would like to speak? If so, unmute yourself and just give us your name and address for the record. Is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Third time, is there anybody from the public that would like to speak? Hearing none, we'll move on to item number five, which is continuing on the review of the capital requests. I just want to say I apologize for the late meeting. I know I had asked for 6 o'clock, but I got stuck in a 6 o'clock meeting for the town of Westport. Relating to my job. So I apologize for the 8 o'clock meeting. The police department was in the middle of doing their thing. I don't see anybody on for the police department right now. I just want to make sure that the chief had an ample opportunity to talk about what they're asking for. So we'll move on and go to the Sterling Opera House. Is anybody from the Sterling Opera House on?
Sure who made that, so I don't know. I don't know. Keith, did you know?
I do not.
It was a ghost.
We're doing anyway.
Maybe Patty would know, but she's unable to be here tonight.
Okay. All right. Well, next we have City Hall. And I know, Keith, you said that you could jump on a few of these, but I do see Andrew Backlick lurking in the shadows.
Yeah, Andrew will take the first three or four, and then I'll take the facility ones.
Excellent.
Can we show that on the screen, Charlie, while we're talking?
Oh, yeah. Let me, Mark, can I share my screen?
Yes.
All right.
Actually, Drew, you want me to do the first one, server?
Make it a little bit bigger.
How about that?
There we are.
Yeah, Keith, whatever you want to take
yeah,
that one.
So the first server is the $4,000 for the server. That is, we want to get off the old AS400. It's a technology from the 70s and 80s, and we're going to put it in on a server, and it will be backed up on the cloud. And that server is dedicated for our financials, and it's getting off the old IBM AS400. Which is just a dinosaur. So that first server is going to bring us into the 1990s with the technology for the financial software.
Okay. And I'm just, you're dating me, my friend, because I used to install AS400s all the time in my heyday. Any questions from,
You're still around.
any questions from any of the members of the board in regards to the $4,000 for the server?
What are we getting instead of an AS400?
Well, the AS400 is an old hard drive. this is going to be where the financials are backed up on a SQL server. So you're still going to use the gems, but it's going to be running off of a SQL server versus the AS400.
Okay.
Anybody else with any questions? All right. So next, Keith, the next looks like the next one is 10 licenses for Windows 10.
Right. So now we have some Windows 7 still in the building, and we want to buy 10 Windows 10 licenses. And as you know, it's an annual license. This is the municipal price off of the DAS website. But we got to get all of our machines onto Windows 10. And then the QuickBooks is Patty needs a new version of QuickBooks. She was operating under the old one.
Excellent. So Windows 10 is no longer supported by Windows. There are no more updates, no more fixes. So this one is kind of important when the committee starts to look at it. Does anybody have any questions in regards to those?
Is it possible to start using the Windows on Google Charts or whatever you call it? That's not good enough for what we do is more heavy duty, probably.
Yep. Yes, correct.
Well, yeah, and this is so Windows 10 is the actual operating system on a computer, which everything is Windows 10 now. As far as the QuickBooks goes, I'm sure that they have a lot more functionality that you would actually have to build into the Googles.
You're saying Windows. I don't know why I was seeing. Never mind.
You're thinking Outlook, Judy, or Microsoft Outlook. Yeah,
I was thinking of your software. I'm sorry. I'm not.
Anybody else have any questions?
Okay, the next one's Charlie, are all facilities. And the last three, I'll address them when we get them. But the first one is, if you drive on either 34 or Elizabeth Street, you'll see on the facade these white, and they're actually white marble long pieces, rectangular pieces that there's like almost two for every window pane. And they have water seepage going behind them. A couple have fallen off the building. And we need to secure the ones we have and then make a long-term decision about taking them down and either replacing them with some sort of press board or some sort of other materials, because these slate marble panels, when they come down, they could kill somebody. So we want to get up here with the $5,000. The replace the panels is really to seal them, refix them to the building, the ones that we can save, the ones we can't take down. Then we're going to have to come up with a cost for what we would replace them with. But they're just high maintenance and they're on their way out. They're falling apart.
And just to add to that, the one panel that has not been replaced on the south side of Main Street, we did get a quote finally from a company willing to do it to replace that one little panel. It was like 10,000. It was like 10,500 to replace the one panel. So this is definitely a long-term thing we're going to have to look more into. But as of right now, we're just looking to put some sort of veneer up there, even if it's painted plywood to match for now, because it just looks terrible. But yeah, that's an accident waiting to happen. So the 5,000 might get us an evaluation from an engineering perspective of what we can do.
Okay, is there any questions from the board members in regards to the marble panels?
Okay, the windows. If anyone comes into City Hall on a rainy day, we literally have washcloths that are on the windowsills, probably in a half a dozen to a dozen windows. And I'm not talking a driving rain. I'm just talking a good rain. At the top of the stairs on the Minerva Street, there's three windows there that get it. There's three or four in the Alderman chambers that have water that pours in. We're not talking like dripping. We're talking where like we have towels and rags that catch it. So this is going to be a repair to those windows, which is outside caulking, inside caulking, sealing around the bases. It's just a mess when it rains. And with that, you start to get damage to the walls and the frames. We just got to stop the water. You know, that's the cure to most problems is stop the water.
Any questions from anybody? Okay, Keith, next.
If you come up the stairwell on Minerva Street, this is just a tripping hazard we want to fix. It's a carpeted stairwell, but on the edge of the step, there's a black rubber strip. But when they put it in, the strip is probably an inch to an inch and a quarter deep on top of the stairs. It's got to be 2 to 3 inches, because what happens is it's so close to the edge, people catch it. And what happens is it's starting to come out and it's becoming more of a tripping hazard. So we want to replace all of those stair edges with new rubber, which is going to be anti-skid, and it's going to be a wider base on the top of the stairs than the current one.
Any questions on
That's a hard number, Charlie. I'm sorry. That's a hard number.
Okay. Any questions on the rubber staircase? All right. How about the repairs to the wall?
Now, this wall's this wall has short-term and long-term discussion points. Right now, if you look at the wall, there's a couple areas where there's cracks going through from the top almost to the bottom of the wall, and the wall's compromised. So we have a couple issues. One, we don't want to redo this wall, replace this wall, because if and when 34 gets addressed, that wall is going to change anyway. So we don't want to invest in a long-term wall or an interlocking block wall, because it's really potentially could be a waste of money, because that wall is going to have to get redone when 34 gets done. But at the same token, with these cracks that are in the wall, especially the one that's a good 6 feet diagonally, we just want to seal it so that water and ice doesn't get into this wall more, and the heaving just create more damage, in which point, if the wall falls down, we're going to have to do something more expensive. So we did recently fill some of the seams with concrete. Pat went around and filled what he could, but there's two cracks there and it's red brick that we don't think it's going to cost $25,000. That's an estimate, but we know it's going to be a portion of that, Charlie, to fill what we have as cracks now and to stop any water penetration to prevent additional heaving. So that's an estimate, pure estimate. If we had to just do the repairs, we're looking at $8,000 to $10,000. If we wanted to do something where they're going to take bricks away and re-put new bricks in, we're talking about 25. Okay. I encourage people to look at the wall, because it's got to have something done to it.
Yeah, I've actually seen the wall and the panels that are falling. But why don't you finish up the last three, because they're all pretty much.
Yeah, sure. So the three are kind of related. If we do a full roof replacement with a 30-year guarantee, it's $270,000. Now, that has an estimate for a certain number of square footage for a panel replacement. But if we do just a 10-year fix for the lower and the upper roof, we're looking at $58,000. And that buys us 10 years, and we could do one lower or the upper. I will tell you that when you go on that roof and you go towards the Minerva Street side of the roof, so you're above the stairwell, kind of between Johnny Sacchew's roof over the stairwell roof, you bounce. It is so wet, the under panels, that you literally, it's soft, almost mushy, and we don't want anyone walking on that, but we have to get in there because something's going on there where that's water penetrating and it's just compromised. So if we don't do a full roof replacement with the 25 to 30 year warranty, we definitely have to look at the 10 year and get into these places, because there's something going on underneath these rubber membranes that are definitely compromising it.
Okay. Any questions on the repairs to City Hall?
So are these things all need to be done this year? Or is there anything that's like higher priority than another? Or
You know, I hate saying that, you know, but if we picked one, like if we don't pick the marble slates and one falls, right, then so I would say, Judy, we definitely have to look at the marble slate, and we have to look at the wall. The roof, you may buy a year, but I'm really concerned about what's above the stairwell. I'm talking mush. Like if you step on it, you almost feel like you may go through it. You just jump back. So I would like to keep all three of them in, you know, and when you get your final list, we could decide what could be local money, what could be state money. But if I had to advocate, it would be definitely something to secure the panels, something to stop the wall from getting penetration. And definitely we have to open the roof, whether it be the 10-year or the 25-year. We definitely have to look at that roof.
Right. Yeah, all I see is the problem that we've got a total here of $1,600,000 and change. And we have an allotment, if we count the LOSIP, of $325,000. So
we're definitely going to No, I hear you. I mean,
look at priorities. It's we're a little short here.
No, I know. But to me, like the marble is a health and safety, you know. So if we're looking at a library with $600,000 or $500,000, and we haven't invested in City Hall in years, you know, in that building in a capital sense. So, you know, let's see where you guys go, but we'll definitely, I understand there's only so many dollars in the pot, you know?
Keith, it's Charlie. I do have one question. At what point would it benefit us, instead of looking at LOSIP and capital funding, to maybe take all of these repair items, move them into one large lump sum and bond the project?
Possible. The thing here, Charlie, like, let's just take the City Hall ones. The roofing, there's enough ways to structure roofing deals now where you don't have to bond it, but you could still pay it over 10 or 15 years, okay? But the concept would be any of these repairs, we'd want something that has a life greater than the bond. So if you take like carpet repairs at the library, if you're going to replace the carpet again in 10 years and we're bonding for 20, it's not prudent, right? But if we're going to do an HVAC system, but even HVAC, there's ways to lease the HVAC. So you get the benefit of term payments, but you don't have to go to referendum. But there are some that could be in here. Like if we do a road bond, you could do a road bond and general improvement bond, but we'd have to pick things that have a life greater than the bond. So if we're doing a 15-year bond, that item better have a 20-year life, you know? That's kind of where it would fall to a referendum. You wouldn't do cars, right? Because they have a 5-year term and you can lease them. The HVAC you could do, that could be an HVAC repair. I'm just looking at the list quick.
If we took off all the big stuff from, what Charlie's point, I think, is if we take all the major City Hall repairs, the library repairs, and I don't know how the school could fit into that. If we take that off and put it under a bond, the things that are left would fit somewhat into our capital budget.
Well, bonding
with other stuff, it's not going to fit. I mean,
well, true, but let's take the roof replacement. If we have to do a structured deal where we pay for it over 5 to 7 years, it's kind of like bonding, but you still have the benefit. Remember, the bonding requires voter approval, so we could put it into a bond bucket. But if it doesn't get approved, we still have to do the repairs, right? Like you're still going to have to do a roof.
Right.
So if you do a roof through a municipal lease, like the roof, like we did roofs, you know, in the past, we can pay for them over 7 years, but not have to go to the referendum. We just use a municipal lease for them. HVAC, you could do the same thing. You could lease the HVAC over 5 to 7 years.
Right.
I don't see.
I don't know how we can decide though, Keith, until we see those kind of numbers. Like, if we said we want to do all of this and we started putting in leases and stuff so that it's not all falling in this column, what is it? You know what I'm saying?
Right. I guess it's a chicken and an egg, right? So we could look at some of this. And we prompt, like we said with Charlie, we would look at the items that are on here, like the police cars and all. I think there needs to be the philosophical discussion, like carpeting. You know, are we really going to borrow money and interest to replace carpeting at one time at several levels at the library? Probably not, right? So if we go through those and say, you know, push that out 2 years, keep that this year, push this out 1 year, keep this year, then we could at least attack the ones that you feel as a board are priorities. Now, the priority may change if it's unaffordable, but at least if we get a sense of what's urgent, what's not urgent, right? Like the rack bodies at the Public Works and the dump truck, those they have them going, the dump truck's 2 years out. So I'm not worried about that. The rack body, he needs that as a priority. So we'll give you a 5-year lease on that. But if you guys decide, for example, you know, I don't even want to say storms, but let's just say you guys decide something like we're going to push the brick and point repairs out a year at the library. Well, then we're chasing a different bottom line. So it's one or the other. You know, you guys set the priorities. We'll put prices to them, or we come back and say, here's what you can afford. But if I don't want to put time into an item that's not a priority in year one, I guess, is where I'm going, Judy. You know what I mean? Like if you say to us, you know, kick the can for the wall for 2 years, just patch it for $2,000. Well, then we move the 25 out.
No, I totally understand. I'm just saying there's enough stuff on here and costly enough that I just think there's more work to do because it's all necessary. I don't see anything on here that's frivolous, you know, but we don't, or at least I don't know, which of these things can we push out a little? Can we do on lease? I don't know how much play is in there. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess
play in there to get from $1.6 million down to 300,000. So,
yeah.
Well, right. Well, the library is 600,000. Storms is 280. You take out the full roof replacement, that's another 300. So that you're at almost half of this, if not more, of this 1.6. You know.
Right, but we're still way under that.
Yep.
We have a lot of math to do, and we appreciate you sticking around to do all that. I think all that good, those good conversations will have to be at the next meeting when we come to it. I did see the commissioner on here. I saw Brian Mezepelt on here. I'll just go back. Commissioner, do you have anything you'd like to add to your presentation?
Good evening, Charlie. Good evening, everybody. Charlie, just without going through the whole thing again, some highlights, headlines, the with the apparatus, It's these two pieces that we're looking to purchase. It takes apparatus off of the fire department's agenda for a substantial amount of time with these two, with the purchase of these two pieces. We've had discussion. I've had discussion with Keith on these. The plan that you have in front of you, obviously this is a 5-year plan. I would envision that purchasing these two pieces of apparatus together, the actual payment would probably stretch out to 8, maybe 9 or 10 years out. The life expectancy on these pieces are 25 to 30 years. The next piece that's due, as I stated earlier, at another meeting, is the aerial ladder, which we only have the one in the city. That's due in for a 30-year, their 30-year replacement anniversary is 2034, I believe. So even if we were to stretch out the payment on these two for 8-9 years, that still leaves a window to begin planning for the aerial replacement. And you know, I'm sure at the time, I don't know who will be here at the time, but no, there'll be some discussion on whether, you know, I've heard question already, does the city of Derby need an aerial truck? Of course, my answer is yes, and I could spend two nights talking about that, but that's for another time. But my point is that doing it this way, we get apparatus that we actually can use that would be service the city of Derby best. And we do it over time. That said, concurrent with all that, I think we as a fire department and ambulance corps will continue to work together to see more areas that we can work with in commonality. For example, rescue equipment, hazmat equipment, that type of thing, where, you know, that may even be a regionalization type conversation. Again, we can have that moving forward, but the purchase of the apparatus, I think, is well served with what we have in front of us. The command vehicles, I certainly understand the predicament with, you know, the purchasing power with money funds available now. I do think it's and take it very seriously, the consideration of the liability that the assistant chiefs have by using their private vehicles. If any of their, you know, I can guarantee you none of them advise their insurance carriers that they're using their vehicle as a first responder vehicle, because if they did, they'd be dropped. And God forbid there's an accident or an issue with one of them while responding to or working, operating at an emergency scene, and there's any, you know, you can imagine what the issues could be. So I think that's very important and to consider moving forward. Again, maybe that's, we can talk about timing for that. The sooner the better is what I'm pushing for. The support vehicle, we're retiring as part of the plan, retiring one of our frontline engines, engine 13, which is housed at the Hotchkiss Hose. The support vehicle will replace that as the only commonality that we'll have with a fire engine is that it's a vehicle with basically two axles. The purpose of the vehicle would be entirely different than what an engine is, but service necessary needs of the department. For example, we have two vehicles now in the department. One is called Utility 17, which is a old water company retired vehicle. And another is the fire police unit, which is a retired ambulance that the city received as a donation many years ago. Combining those into a single use vehicle and outfit the support vehicle with some other functions as well, not necessarily a fire pump or ladders, but with other purposes. And lastly, the repairs to the firehouses. Again, basically the conversations that we just started with the city hall and the others, I'm just looking to get a placeholder in the capital plan so that it's not hard to come up with projects, but you know, once we know what a timing is for funding, that makes prioritization a lot easier. I can tell you that there's no firehouses that we have that are newer. The two newest ones we have were built in 1976. And other than roofs, not a lot has been done to either one of those, nor the other ones that we have. So it won't be hard to find legitimate projects that need to be done proactively so that we're not working on a continual reactive mode. And then just briefly going back to the storm engine ambulance, and I know Brian's on, I'll let him speak as well, but the two ambulances they have, one is out of service currently and has been for some time. The other one, it really needs to be out of service because it's not reliable. And the members do an outstanding job. Both the ambulance corps members and the fire department members, there's a lot of joint membership there. They do a tremendous job. Obviously, we're talking life safety, and we need to have vehicles that serve our city well, and we're not in the business of repairs. We're in the business of saving people, saving property.
Thank you, Commissioner. Did anybody have any questions in regards to anything the commissioner said? Hearing none. Brian, I see you lurking in the shadows back there too. You don't have to chat if you don't want to, but was there anything you left out that you just wanted to once again discuss with us before we move on?
Just kind of echoing what Commissioner Parker said, that, you know, some of these items with the vehicle replacements, we've brought up here year after year after year, and they've kind of been kicked down the road a number of times, and we're kind of at the point with most of them where it's time to, you know, do something or figure out something else. But we definitely need to make some type of major decision with these this year, otherwise it's going to be put a major damper on both the department and the ambulance corps with the way we operate if we don't have these vehicles to support our operations. Like I said, it's just been year after year, these things keep getting denied. And I think it's at the point where we can't really kick it along too much longer.
Yeah. One, just a point, then you just rang a bell in my head there, Brian. The apparatus, the two engine 16 and the rescue engine, at the best, those vehicles are, if we order them tomorrow, they're a year out for delivery, and that's plus or minus a month or two. But and that's the urgency, because you don't just call up a dealer and these things are sitting on a lot somewhere. They're specifically built for the city, you know, per our specification.
Thank you, Commissioner. Anybody from the board have any questions?
How are the vehicles paid? So, like, if you order one and it's going to take a year to deliver it, how do you pay for that?
Most of the manufacturers, and specifically the manufacturer that we have a fairly good relationship with, Pierce Manufacturing, they have all kinds of incentives, including, where no payment is due until the delivery. So we could actually, depends on how the plans are structured, but there could be the first payment due upon delivery, and then go out in whatever time from there. The other benefit is by buying the two together, and although this is not a sole reason to do it together, we're asking for two together here because, as Brian said, things have been kicked a lot along. But the benefit to buying two together is a cost benefit that can be realized there as well.
Okay, thank you.
Gary, I know you mentioned Pierce, I from what I gather, Pierce is top of the line. Are there other options that we have available to us besides going with top of the line?
Oh, sure. Well, yeah, there's the fire apparatus industry is as you can imagine, is a highly regulated industry. The NFPA standards are what all fire apparatus have to meet. So to answer your question, Joe, yeah, there are other manufacturers. We have become a predominantly Pierce fire department, as I have many of the departments around us have a number of Pierce apparatus. The benefit is, these are complicated vehicles. So the question is not if when something goes wrong, but when something goes wrong with the vehicles, the benefit to Pierce, and there's other ones I could name, E1, there's several other, equally recognizable names. You make one phone call. So the manufacturer makes both the cab and chassis of the vehicle and the fire business end of the vehicle. So if it's a ladder truck or an engine, it builds the complete from the frame rails up. And that's the benefit to having a company like Pierce. I see that say them because we've built a relationship with them, and they've served us well. Even with the ladder truck, now that's a Pierce, right? And it's there's some major repairs going on to that. They work closely with us in developing a fix for that. There's a benefit to dealing with a company like that. But to answer your question, there are others, and for price, they're all priced, comparably. So it's, to get the vehicle, the apparatus, to serve the needs that we want. There's going to be, obviously it's competitive bid. So there is some incentive there for get good pricing. But they're all in the same ballpark as far as costs go.
Okay, thank you.
You bet.
Any other questions from any members of the board?
Mr. Chair, if I just may, to the commissioner, Commissioner Parker, were you able to forward that progression plan or your plan for how the trucks are going to be laid out? Did you send that to Patty?
I did not. I apologize for that. I will do that forthwith, first thing in the morning.
At your convenience. Thanks.
Yeah.
Any other questions from any members of the board? All right, Keith, who has this actual spreadsheet as far as the original goes that gets forwarded? Is that Patty?
Yeah.
All right, I'm just going to ask for sake of what Chief Narowski brought up at our last meeting, that in the 2021-2022 line under police department, that we add in body-worn cam and in-car camera system with a rough estimate of $450,000 just to the police department. I don't want that to be a surprise. Unfortunately, it's an unfunded mandate through the state that this city will have to cover and has to be done prior to July 1st, 2022.
So you're in the 21-22 column, add that,
yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Okay. Charlie, or Mr. Sampson, what if we do this? We understand it's all important. And what if we take a stab with no bias or no criticism? We take a stab at coming back to you with taking all of this and putting them into with some sort of code, lease, finance, or hard number out of the budget, then separate what would be general fund, what would be LOSA, and come back to your next meeting with each of these items having that category assigned to it. And then if we, you know, we have to move something out a year, we move it out as just a proposal. And then your committee can at least look at that. Is that fair?
I think that's actually perfect, if you ask me.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
All right. Give us a week or two. No, this week's over. Give us another week or two, and then we'll get this to you, and then we'll have our next meeting after that. Excellent. By then, you'll also have Gary Parker's master plan, which I think is something we all should look at and applaud, because a lot of work went into that. And we'll have that, you know, for that same period to look at.
Excellent. All right. Anything else for anybody? Well, hearing none, then sharing my screen here. Item number 6. A motion to adjourn, please.
Make the motion to adjourn, 8:41.
I got that from Joe and Judy. I believe you seconded that. All in favor?
Sure.
Aye.
Aye. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, everyone, to all you and your families.
Have a good Thanksgiving, everybody.
Stay safe.
Yes, sir. You too, Mr. Butler.